to Hammered in Helios, a 5th edition spirited Dungeons & Dragons homebrew campaign. During each session, our cast not only tries to survive the cruel Dungeon Master's plans, but also reviews a delicious bottle of liquor. Remember, whether you're adventuring through a fantasy world or just listening to ours, please drink responsibly. Hi, I'm Owen Landsberg, your evil, cruel, malicious, but lovingly tender Dungeon Master. And this week on Hammered in Helios, we are drinking King's Family Distillery Single Barrel Select Whiskey, American light whiskey aged 14 years that is 147.4 proof or 73.7 ABV. ABV. So this is actual gasoline that we're basically going to be drinking tonight, guys. And it is really good. I got to try it a little bit.
Is this the stuff you've been warning me about?
Yes, this is what I've been warning you guys about since I bought it like 3 weeks ago.
You're paying for my Uber home.
Hey, if I need to, that's fine. I'll wear a comfy couch or you can come cuddle with me, Brando. So a little history. King's Family Distillery is actually a newer distillery. They just opened up in like 2018, I want to say. They're based here in Tennessee. They're actually in Pigeon's Forge, just outside Pigeon's Forge, near Dolly's World. And it's run by...
Hold on. Did you say that on purpose?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. Yeah. You are so from California. Dollywood. You know that?
Dollywood, Dolly's World, oh, whatever.
Dollywood in Pigeon Forge.
From the Pigeon's Forge.
Pigeon Forge.
The Dolly's World.
Isn't that what it's called?
You said Pigeon's Forge.
You said whatever. Pigeon's Forge, you non-Tennessee.
Have you never been?
I've driven through it.
Gatlinburg?
Yeah, I've been to Gatlinburg.
Yeah, that's great.
Anyways, so King's Family Distillery is from Pigeon Forge. Trying to save myself now. Sorry. No. So it's actually really cool. So it's a married couple that run this distillery. They have both of them been in the industry for quite a long time. This is actually a really cool whiskey for a couple different reasons. One, it's 14 years old, which I very much enjoy. Two, it's actually a light whiskey, which is its own category of whiskey. This is light whiskey is basically was like America's way of trying to bring whiskey back in the 1960s because everyone was drinking gin and vodka.
They were all drinking piss back then. It was very different.
And so what light whiskey is basically you can distill it to a higher proof because normal American bourbon whiskey can only distill, I believe, to 140 proof. This you can distill higher than that, or like 125 or something like that.
You turn it to 11.
Yeah, pretty much. You can go way higher. And then also the barrels can be any barrels you want or even new barrels is what you age it in. So it can be – it takes away some of the classifications of this. So anyways, I don't know what the mash bill on this. I do know that this is MGP, which we have talked about before in this podcast. It is an MGP product because the distillery's only been around for 3 years and it's somehow a 14-year-old product. So it is MGP single barrel, but it's like a really weird MGP single barrel. With that, we're good to go ahead and... So for me, the smell, it's just like straight caramel. I get like a lot of caramel, toffee, vanilla. And then drinking it, here we go. Woo! So the reason why I brought this is because of how high proof it is. But even with how high proof, the 73.7% ABV... It's actually really drinkable and palatable. Like there definitely has a huge hit to it and it coats the tongue, but it doesn't burn as much as you would think it burns. And so that's one of the reasons why I very much enjoy it. I'm going to give this a 14. So I think it's really good.
Okay, so that brings me to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
This is aftershocks.
Yeah. I am... What's my name again? I'm Mike Williams. I play Anessin Baryothian, your friendly neighborhood wood elf evocation wizard. This one, I will say, probably a couple sips in, it definitely is a lot smoother. My initial reaction was probably, I will say, first bit on the tongue, you can definitely taste, you know, the caramel vanilla kind of toffee flavor, which is good. But man, that as soon as that is gone, it's a rude awakening, and it's pretty pretty hot. I will say it there is a little bit of drinkability. I think we probably poured very little of this.
I think I only gave like each one of us maybe a half to a quarter of an ounce.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't drink much more than this than a sitting. I think I want to go 13.
I'm Brando, and I play Croft, changeling assassin. And this tastes like acid reflux. it's making my chest warm. Definitely coats the esophagus. I mean, the burn and the heat on this, and it's like an after. It sticks with the warmth and the heat.
This might be a good put it in the flask while you're out.
You go camping. Yeah. Yeah, take this on your winter campsite. Yeah, yeah.
Like legitimately, it's just a sip.
It's like burning the outside of my lips, like some hot chicken or something would. You know what I mean? I'm not a huge fan. I'm definitely getting the a little bit of the flavors, like what you were saying, some of the caramel and the toffee, a little bit of that, but just, it's just so strong that I really prefer something that I can sip. Whereas I'm feeling like, man, this would just knock me out, man. So, not a huge fan. I'd give this a 10, give it a 10. You know, it's not bad, but it's just powerful.
Garrett Cardi. I play Ignath Redjaw, Ranger Monster Slayer, and your comically deep voice character on the podcast.
What race are you, though?
An orc.
Yeah.
An orc.
Half orc?
For a half second there, I thought that was inappropriate.
No, it's an orc.
I'll just give a straight up score on this first. I'm going to say 13 as well. I actually drank this 2 weeks ago, and I don't know if it was just like you've opened your batch, but I mean, it was still like kind of in the neck. So I don't think it's really like oxidized at all.
Oh, I opened it 3 days ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. The stuff I drank was straight. This seems a lot better. And I kind of like to imagine that I drink a lot of neat products, but this is still like hot. So I can agree with every single sentiment around the table, but yeah, I think, I do like it. But I'll probably have this one pour of it before I'll swap out to something else, because otherwise it'll be a rough... You guys with Dython and me, I'll just be saying words.
it's like a novelty.
Yeah, it's a fun thing.
Yeah.
And I'm Dean Rains, a.k.a. Oren Can Fix It, your gnome battlesmith artificer. I will open with a score on this as well, and I'm going to say, I'm just going to go 11. The first taste, actually, like after I got past the burning sensation in my little dainty nose, the first taste, as everyone else has said, like it instantly coated my tongue, and it instantly coated my throat, and I was like, wow, that didn't, I didn't want to die. Which is kind of normally where I go in my head when I drink a whiskey, or a scotch or a bourbon or really anything brown. But the more that I've drank of this, the more that I don't like it. At first I was like, oh, this is decent. Like, yeah, I actually tasted the caramel and I was like, okay. But I guess you guys probably aren't going to see this one coming, but it's kind of hot.
Yeah, it's kind of hot.
But yeah, I mean, it's not awful, but like everyone else has kind of said, I could see drinking this, just sipping on it like we just did, like a very small pour, and then saying, all right, I'm good on that for months to come.
All right. And with that, we have our lowest scoring product of the podcast so far.
Oh, wow.
So between the five of us and all our scores, this got a 61, which is 3 points lower than the Bruichladdich that was the lowest scoring one of the podcast before that. Before we begin this week's adventure, I need to give a special shout out to BattleBards.com. BattleBards specializes in creating the coolest and best sound effects and ambient music on the market for your tabletop experience. They have thousands, if not tens of thousands, of files ready to go at your fingertips for you to use as either a dungeon master or even as a player. And they have so graciously donated some of their library to Hammered in Helios. So from now on, whenever you hear a Nessun cast a spell, or Ignath shoot his bow, or any of the other cool sound effects you'll be hearing, you'll know it's from BattleBards.com. Red Colosseum, a place of spectacle and amusement for some, but for its participants, it's just a death sentence. Through fanfare, cunning strategy, and a little bit of goading, our heroes were able to successfully get Ignath into a match with Dython, the Red Colosseum's current champion. As well, in a clandestine meeting, they were approached by a contact of Drudge's, a female rat folk named Scratch, and they were informed that Drudge would meet with them under two conditions. First, they must steal a shipment of slave collars that are coming into Cork at midnight on the 28th day of Palum, and also kill Dython, for he used to be the right hand of Drudge. Nessun, however, noticed that Dython was wearing a bracelet that looked very similar to an actual slave collar and thought that perhaps he was being mind-controlled. But there is always the chance that he did really switch sides to align with House Tain. Ignath now stands in the arena, Dython on its other side impatiently waiting to kill him. All the while, Lyra Tain, with Supreme Leader Igor and Draven from the Chains of Emrys, watch.
One, I want to see if I can, like, I'm not trying to, like, acknowledge Draven, but I want to get, like, eye contact to give, like, a nod of the head, because he and I have had, like, a little bit of a past here.
Yeah, so you look up at Draven, and you all see Draven and Igor and Lyra Tain with the Mayor of Cork. And they don't seem phased at all that the four of you are in the Colosseum. I will say that because the three of you that aren't in the match, they can't see you unless they start rolling perception checks. So Orin, Croft, and Nessun, you guys are basically stealth to them right now. So you're standing in what's basically kind of like a oblonged circle, like a football-shaped arena. Scattered throughout in various places were these columns. And last session, a Nessun's hawk familiar went to the columns and looked into these random holes that were in the columns. Looked down and they could see that there was beastkin slaves that were going to be randomly igniting explosive goblin jelly. And there was pipes that would lead to various parts and different columns. So it looks like they're just randomly going to ignite certain parts of this jelly, and these pipes would shoot it out into various directions and of columns. So because the Nessun rolled really, really high, you guys can see that there's basically was like four different groupings of pipes. So there was like leading to four different style of columns, and then each one had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different pipes that lead into it that could go into the 8 different directions around the column. And then 9 would be the entire area around the column would explode. There is a giant pit in the middle that is about 15 feet deep that has tons and tons of spikes growing or coming out of it. So if you got pushed into there, spider kicked, you would surely get impaled on a lot of spikes, and the walls are covered in a sticky liquid to make sure that you couldn't climb out. So if you hit it, if you touch the outer walls, you will stick kind of like against that spider, and it makes it so it's not easy to climb. Actually, it's really hard to climb because it's going to take a lot of athletics to pull yourself free.
That is so right. That's so important to remember.
So you look up at Draven. You make eye contact.
Then will you let me cast? I'm gonna make sure. Sorry, I want Slayer's Prey. right now.
Isn't that an ability?
It's a bonus action.
Yeah.
So I will cast Slayer's Prey.
Okay.
And I'll, as I cast it, I do want to say to the sword, well, let's get this going, my friend.
So how combat is going to work? Ignath, you and Dithon will be primarily in combat, where the other three of you will be spectators. Ignath, every single time that you make an attack, as a bonus action, you can do a performance check to win the favor of the crowd. By winning the favor of the crowd, many different things can happen. You could, and this will be a stacking bonus, so if you, every single time you win the favor, you get plus one. If you ever try to do this and fail horribly, you actually get minus one.
Okay.
So at plus three favor, you crit on a 19 to 20. Plus five favor, you crit on 17 to 20.
Wow.
Plus seven favor, you crit on 15 to 20. And if you ever get to plus 10 favor with the crowd, you have advantage on all attacks, and every single attack is a crit.
Jeez. Whoa. Okay. Let's get some favor going, boys.
So you just do a performance check, and you do not need to use charisma for this performance check. You can use any stat you want for the performance check, but you have to flavor it. So if it's strength, it's going to be like weapon base. If it's dex, it make it like acrobatic base. Con would be like you trying to stay off an attack. So you have to come up with what stat you want to use and how you're using it. You can never use the same stat twice in a row.
Gotcha. Ooh. Okay. This is interesting.
As well, before any attack, you can attempt a flourish. This will also be a performance check based off whatever stat you use for the weapon. If you hit a 12 or higher, you get plus one to hit and damage on the attack. If you hit a 16 or higher, you have advantage on the attack and plus two damage. But if you only get, if you get eight or lower, you have minus two to hit and damage. And if you get a five or lower, you have disadvantage on the attack and minus four damage. What will happen is there will be initiative between you and Dithon, and that's when we know who goes first and who goes second. It will go whoever goes first, whoever goes second, and then you as the spectators can have some options as well. So this combat will involve you. At any point, if you want to make movement towards, for instance, Lyric, Draven, and Igor, I always say one, Igor, you can, if you want to do something like that, you can try to move up towards that. At any point, if you have spells or abilities that can affect Ignath, you can cast them or use them on Ignath. It is illegal to do this, so it will require stealth rolls for you not to be seen if you're going to cast spells that benefit Ignath or debuff Dithon. As well, if Ignath ever successfully does a performance check to gain favor from the crowd, you can use your own performance or intimidation or persuasion in order to give him an additional favor to it. So you guys can basically stack, give him extra favor as you're trying to like get the crowd behind him. Dithon is the champion of this Colosseum, so he is not starting at zero favor. He is starting at seven favor. So he will crit on any 15 to 20.
Oh. All right, so
since he is the champion,
let's put that sword away and use the bow. He'll be running a little bit.
You know, do you remember in a World of Helios, there we use different rules for crits? So this could get bad for you.
Yeah, I fully realize this.
So remember, he uses,
I was blind the last time there was a crit.
He uses a spear and a net. He wears leather armor. Okay. And you look upon Dithon, and there is this glow about him. There's this aura as when he comes up from kneeling to Lyric and the rest of them, and you see divine light around him, this aura, and it looks like it's shielding him a little bit. Ignath, are you ready?
I guess so.
Initiative.
That's a 10 for me.
Is that this?
I was with advantage, which is frustrating.
Unfortunately, Dithon got a 14, so he will be going first.
So I will say at this point, while most attention will will likely be on Dithlin because the crowd is, but obviously we're paying attention to Ignath. You will see a butterfly flutter around and land on Ignath's shoulder.
A butterfly? What are you doing?
That is my familiar. It is a chromatic butterfly.
Chromatic butterfly, okay.
And it's just pretty. Mm-hmm. Just to make you feel like a big, strong man.
This would be something that we would see as a lucky thing for us if we were on the hunt for dragons. Grant good fortune when in the hunger jungle.
Dithon looks straight at you, and even though there's columns, you guys can still kind of make eye contact with one another. He charges completely forward and advances towards you. This Lionel moves at 45 feet per round, so he's going to rush at you at 90 feet.
Straight forward into the pit of spikes? And he falls in and impales himself and he's dead?
Wow, that was over so
and
fast.
He's dead and he can't get up because he's stuck on all the spikes? And when he tries to reach off of it, his hand gets stuck on the wall so he can't get out? And now he's just bleeding in the spike pit?
All right, what do you guys want to do next?
Yeah, yeah. Sweet.
Wow.
Yeah, actually, campaign over, guys. You won. There we go.
He tripped. What was his deck save crossing that pit?
Embryus dead.
Yeah, and then at the end of his turn. All right, so threes explode, but none of you are near threes, so you're fine. And Ignath, to you.
Being the complicated ranger I am, I'm going to cast move forward by a few and hit the guy.
All right.
While I do this, I obviously want to be screaming for the crowd.
Gotcha. Okay.
Like roaring. Roaring as best as Ignath can.
All right. I like this.
I will attack.
Okay. Will you like to flourish before you attack him?
Oh. So we'll take it to like, this is just like the duels in the Hungan jungle that Ignath grew up in his youth doing against other Red Jaw. And with this, he will do some sort of like spiral move with the sword.
Okay.
As he kind of closes in with a twist to then attack.
So give me a performance check.
That is a 12.
At a 12, you have plus one to hit and damage for this round.
Okay. So that is a 12 and a 26.
The 26 hits.
Okay. With a versatile on the longsword, so that's a d10.
Because you're two-handing, yep.
Because I'm two-handing it, just like any pro would. Make sure these are the right dice. 15 damage.
15 damage, okay.
Yeah. I will use my bonus attack then, my bonus action.
Sorry. Bonus action. Do you want to curry favor, or do you go to second attack?
Oh, I'll curry favor.
Okay. So give me another performance check. Now, one of you that is in the crowd, if you would like to, can give me, like I said, either performance, persuasion, or intimidation. And this would be your reaction to an order to, while he is doing this performance check to show off even more.
21.
Okay, you have advantage.
14 performance.
You have advantage on this performance check.
And I
are you vain?
That's 11, so 14 and 11.
14.
I was going to ask.
15 and 11.
Are you going to let me shapeshift without drawing attention to myself, or how does that work?
Stealth checks.
Stealth checks.
Stealth checks. Performance with. So what stat are you using?
For me?
Yeah, for the performance. Remember, I told you you have to declare what stat.
Oh. So I'll have my modifier to that.
Yeah.
So with that would have been Dex because I just did this whole Dex.
Okay.
I feel like wielding the sword. So that would have been like striking and then probably like flipping the blade back around. And that would not have been plus one, then that would have been a plus three. So instead of 14, that would have been a 16.
16. Okay. So you gain plus one favor while Dithon loses one favor, which takes him out of the crit from 15 to 20 range.
How many favor am I at?
One.
One.
One to six.
It's a journey, man.
Yep.
And so I did a stealth check.
Mm-hmm.
That was a 28.
Yeah, you're good.
And so I change into a mountain dwarf, I believe is it? Mountain dwarf, right? Is that other than the next one? Mountain Dwarf bald guy. No beard, actually. Big mutton chops, though. And just a bald, really super fat dwarf. And I want to do like a cartwheel in front of the stands. And then when I stand back up, I pull out a piece of poster board. And on the top, it's painted just like a line of red. Like I just took like a paint and just, you know, a line of red. And then below it is like a meticulously drawn jaw. Like a, and I turn to the crowd and I say, "From loves Red Jaw. Red Jaw will win. From loves Red Jaw. Go Red Jaw." And looks to the crowd expectantly like, "Red Jaw, right?"
As yeah, so some of the people now, you start to get some cheers from this performance check as you hit Dython. Not a whole lot yet, but some people are like, "Oh, hey, here we go."
It's like a small local show. It's not Backstreet Boys yet, but you're moving up. You gotta pay your dues.
So, Ignath, to your right, it explodes out flame. It is hot because it's right next to you, but not enough to deal damage to you. As it...
I did not realize these are diagonal directional.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. I was like, I'm going to be sneaky.
Nope. Every single square around it can be hit.
That's good to know. Yeah.
Dython charges up with his spear, and you see him. He jumps, steps off the column next to you guys, and is going to attempt a performance check. He got a 24 on his performance check.
Dear God.
And now he has advantage on the hit and plus 2 damage. 15 with advantage.
Does not hit.
All right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's right, baby. We got new armor.
As he jumps, stabs, and he's going straight for your face, it misses. But as he lands, you see him kind of like turn a little bit, and he's going to stab like backwards towards you. Oh, baby. That is a 26 to hit.
Doesn't hit. No.
And yeah, that is hits. Also a crit.
A 26?
Yeah, he rolled an 18.
That hits.
Gosh. Okay, so you're going to take 13 points of damage.
Yeah.
And as well, because I like you to choose your fate, roll me a d20.
That is a 16.
16, okay.
We lost all advantages on all of my bonus HP is gone.
Wow, all right. So he rolled max die for the second one. So you take 21 points of damage on this attack. And as well, as he goes to strike you on a cloudless day, lightning comes out of nowhere, strikes his spear.
Cloudless.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but it is not cloudless. There are very clearly clouds in the sky that say Dython is here for his 50th victory.
That's right. Sorry. Out of one of those clouds. Oh, thank you for that callback.
God damn it, Orin.
A lightning comes out and strikes his spear. So you take 21 points of damage total from that. And then you take an additional 10 points of electricity damage.
So I will, as a reaction, cast Absorb Elements.
Is it a reaction to cast that?
It is a reaction. Oh, shit, nice. It's awesome. Yeah. So I capture some of the energy, lessening its effects. I don't know what that actually means in DM terms. I don't know if it's like a resistance, so it's like half. But if he also hit me with lightning damage, I do have resistance on lightning damage.
So you only take 5 from that.
Okay.
Absorb elements. Capture incoming. Also, the first time you hit with a melee attack, so absorb elements does the exact same thing as your armor, so you cannot double stack that.
Okay.
But if you do want to absorb elements, if you get hit with an element the next round, if someone hits you, they take the damage.
I get to deal it out, yeah.
Yeah.
So I will do absorb element as a reaction.
Ooh. He hits you with his spear straight into the gut. You are badly beaten. For now on, you have disadvantage on all constitution saving throws.
Ah.
For the listeners at home, we use a different critical dice system. So instead of just a straight D20 and then you just add dice, there is some great homebrew stuff online. And I found a fun one that I very much enjoy, which includes additional effects of crits. And as well, if they roll high enough, they can take actual injuries from it. So there is that. And at the on his bonus action, you see him try to curry favor with the crowd again. And he... If someone would like to use a reaction to do a performance check, Croft, you cannot because you already used your reaction. So it'd be Anessin or Orin. you can attempt to give him disadvantage on this.
Yeah, I'll try a performance. Here we go. 3.
Yeah, so he does not get disadvantage on this, but luckily enough, he only rolled a 9 total. So, or sorry, 10 total. So he does not gain favor, and you do not lose one favor.
You made mention of either buffing or debuffing.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as debuffing goes, how drastic can these debuffs be without like causing problem? Like without...
So the thing is, like I said, if you cast a stealth spell,
mm-hmm.
people won't know it's you.
Yeah, that part I'm fine with. But let's say I cast Reduce, and I shrink Dython down to teeny tiny size. Is that going to be like, oh, the match is fixed, stop the match?
No, because most of the time in Cork, people are already doing that shit. So, but if you get caught, that's the issue.
Yeah.
It's a pretty lawless Coliseum.
I mean, yeah, that's okay, that's fine.
So... give me Reduce. What do you want? Right.
No, but I have a different one.
Oh, okay.
So here's what I'd like. This is the dumbest shit ever. I don't know how this is gonna play out if it actually happens. So is this a sleight of hand check or a stealth check?
Stealth check.
Okay. So
I'll let you choose sleight of hand or stealth.
Same bonus for me. So if I roll a sleight of hand check here and I pass it, does that go for both action and bonus action?
Yes. It's for the round.
Mm. Okay. So fuck it. Let's cast a spell. Let's go for it.
So stealth or sleight of hand.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, baby.
Oh, man. He's gone.
So what is the... Okay. What's the rule for our action points? Because that is a 1.
Oh, my God.
Then you're definitely going to want to use it to reroll the d20.
Yeah,
so to give yourself advantage.
So is that 2 of the action points?
Just 1 action point.
Just 1, okay.
Just 1.
Oh, just see a Dean roll that confidently, and I just watched it slowly flip from that 19 to the 1. I was like, well, that's it.
Couldn't have gone any worse than that.
I was like, unless you re-roll a 1, man.
All right. Dirty 20.
Dirty 20. Okay, you successfully are able to slide a hand and not let people see you cast spells or do abilities this turn.
So what the hell are you going to cast?
All right, so first...
I cast Skywrite again.
And it says, oh shit, no. Okay, so first I do want to cast Reduce on Dython, so that is a Constitution saving throw. And that is a 15.
You got a 17.
Ugh. Okay, so whatever. So with my bonus action, I want to cast Sanctuary.
Oh shit.
So Sanctuary, just to read the spell description out loud, you ward a creature within range against attack. Until the spell ends, any creature who targets the warded creature with an attack or harmful spell must first make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, the creature must choose a new target or lose the attack or spell. This spell doesn't protect the warded creature from area effects, such as the explosion of a fireball. If the warded creature makes an attack or casts a spell that affects enemy creature, the spell ends. So it only works until he attacks, which actually this really sucks considering where I fall in the... Wait, no, Dython rolled higher initiative. Yes. So, okay, so if anything, this is potentially one round, which is fine because it just buys some time.
Anessin, to you next.
I'm casting spells.
Yeah.
What are you going to cast?
Fucking fireball this dude. No.
That is a 16.
You're good.
I'm going to cast Dispel Magic.
Oh, shit. Okay.
On Dython.
Ooh, all right. Dispel Magic. If a spell is third level over, it automatically fails. If it is above that, then there's a save. The spell he casted is a first level spell. You see this magical aura fade from him as Anessin casts Dispel Magic. And you are now... see that he is easier to hit as he loses some AC and quite a lot, actually. All right, Croft, to you.
Is there like a big, ugly, mean-looking dude in the crowd who has like a beer in his hand?
Yes, there is. There, you see a fully blooded orc from, give me another clan, Ignath.
I'll give a copper eye. So there's a copper tattoo under the left eye of this orc.
You know that this is considered a, not necessarily an enemy, but a adversary of the Red Jaws. And he looks to having quite the delight to Ignath's demise.
By this point, I have like a tankard of ale in one hand and a funnel cake in the other hand. And I'm just going to town on both of them, and it's very sloppy. Like, okay. There's just crumbs and like powdered sugar everywhere.
What would that sound like, Brando?
From Love's funnel cakes, it's so tasty. From Love's tasty food and tasty beer and tasty fight.
Went at the Coliseum, you know.
And yeah, and I have my Red Jaw sign, like with its handle like stuck down behind my collar, like okay. In my jacket, you know, like behind, so it's like sticking up around behind my head, and I'm just bouncing around my ear, and I want to bounce my way towards the big orc guy, and I want to kind of spin around to the crowd. I'm kind of like work up the crowd. Mm-hmm. To be like, Red Jaw will win, upset the champion, he will. From believes in Red Jaw. Do you believe in Red Jaw? And just to try to get him hype and to win him some favor. So okay. I would do a, what do you said? Persuasion?
Persuasion, intimidation, or performance?
I'll do persuasion.
Persuasion, okay.
All right. And that's a 15? 15.
You give, so with this, I'm going to, that gives Ignath plus one, but it does not take away from Dithon.
Perfect.
Ignath, it is your turn.
I will move over to that side of Dithon.
Okay.
Does that, I think that's, I still stay in proximity, so it's mm-hmm. not.
You're fine. You move to position yourself and have him between you and a pillar.
Yes. So with that, I want to do like a strength flourish, and I'll see if this counts as like something of like strength.
Okay.
As like, I kind of want to like headbutt him into the pillar. I don't want it to do like damage.
Give me the performance.
That is a...
Or a flourish. This is a flourish.
This is a flourish, so yeah. Even better, it's a three.
it's a three?
Yeah.
With the strength?
Yeah, I don't have a big strength modifier.
Oh, that's right, you don't. Okay, you have disadvantage.
I also rolled a two, so yeah.
You have disadvantage on all attacks and minus four damage for this turn. As you go to headbutt him, and he literally headbutts you back, and you stumble a little bit.
Oh, man. No, so I rolled this attack twice. So that is a 21 disadvantage?
Yeah, that's a hit.
And that is a 16.
That's a hit as well. Woo! Holy shit.
Oh, man. I want that to be like, he headbutts me and I stumble away, but then the sword just comes up for two quick strikes. So 27 damage on that.
And it pops.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
And that's from both attacks?
That's from both attacks.
Shit. Okay.
Sizzle pop.
So that is a 19.
19? Okay.
Oh, it's weapon all.
Oh, 19? Okay. Holy shit. You get plus two to favor. So you officially crit on a 19 to 20 now.
Oh, and with that hit, it looks like Ignath gets him with the electricity out of the blade. Oh, whoa, Dithon's really reeling from that one. We'll see how he reacts on this turn.
Now that's pod racing.
Now that's pod racing.
How does that feel? The champion feels no pain. You're only charging me up.
As he, once again, he's going to, with his movement and a performance check, is once again going to try to run up the column. Performance check. Rolled a nat 20 on the performance check.
You're kidding.
Jeez.
So he has advantage on this attack roll and plus two damage, as well as he gains one favor from the nat 20. So he's at five. So he crits on a 17 to 20 now. And you lose one. So you're at three. He runs up the column, jumps, and somersaults over you. So, Brandon, if you can move him to the other side of Ignath. Thank you. As he somersaults over you with his spear, he's going to attempt to attack you midair.
I'm going to throw something at you here. Owen, for all those listening, has made some really awesome weapon perks for us, depending on what we're using. And I realize I did not use this last turn because I am wielding my sword with my long sword with two hands. I can choose to parry on attacks.
You can, yes. Ooh, as your reaction.
As my reaction to this, yes. So I will try to do so.
Okay. So I'm going to stop you now. With advantage, he rolled a nat 20.
I could roll a nat 20. I have advantage.
He has to roll a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, he does have to roll a wisdom saving throw.
Sanctuary.
Oh, that's right. So maybe I don't need to parry.
Yeah. What is the spell save DC?
15.
He has a... He rolled a natural 17. Sorry, okay. Guys.
I mean,
so if I roll a nat 20, it is an equal or exceed here.
It's equal or exceed? Okay. Yeah.
So here it is. The natural 20 we've all been waiting for. Oh, it's not. Oh, but it was so close.
I put all my money on that.
He has to do that for every attack, though, doesn't he, Oren?
Only until Ikhnath attacks him.
Gotcha. Okay. So first attack, so that's going to be 13 points of damage. Now roll me a d20, Ikhnath.
We need to calm down on him critting on stuff.
I know.
Oh, that's a flat 10.
With the crit, nothing bad happens to you on this one, but he hits you for an additional 5, so that's 18 points of damage. And once again, lightning comes down as he is attempting to smite you because he's a paladin.
Oh. Thank God for this Felgolos breastplate, man.
Yeah. 10, 12, 14. So you take an additional 7 points of damage. So that's 25 damage total that you take.
That's with that resistance on lightning?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he's going to attempt his second attack against you as now he lands on the other side of you and fails the wisdom saving throw, so he cannot attack you on this one.
Nice.
But he is going to give a performance check to try to curry favor. He gains favor with a 21. And the end of his turn, 1 second. Ooh, a 3. And so the 3 column that is next to Dython explodes on the far side of you guys. So you both are safe.
Can you target his hand?
Yep, you can do a called shot.
Yeah. I can do that. Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So as he flips around me, I will spin around and I will attack him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Do you want to do a flourish? Slash.
Yes, I do want to do a flourish. As taking this strike, Ikhnath will spin around and again, like, do some sword movement to, like, strike. So again, like a flurry of sword movement to strike Dython.
Okay.
And I will go for the hand this time, but I know this is just the flourish.
Yep.
11.
So 11, no bonus from this flourish.
Well, at least it's not negative.
Yeah.
Okay. So I will go for a targeted strike.
Okay. So targeted strike, you call out where you're specifically trying to target. With this, normally in D&D rules, it's just a straight disadvantage, but I don't like disadvantage. So I'm going to set a DC that is straight to just his hand, and you just have to meet or beat his AC for the hand, and you will strike at his left hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is his left hand the spear-wielding hand? Or the,
no, that's a net that he hasn't. Yeah, he hasn't used that one yet.
Okay, cool. That is a 12.
That is a miss.
And so as I swipe up for that one and maybe it doesn't hit, I'll come back down on the other slash to do so again.
All right.
And that is a 17.
You hit his left arm. So he's wearing a bracelet and it's just like at the wrist. So I'm guessing you're going
to, I don't want to take the arm. I want the hand.
You want the hand.
I want above the bracelet. Though,
just above the bracelet. So like, okay. So like a little bit into the forearm, give me
like where my tattoo is for those viewers. Yeah. It's right there.
Give me damage for this attack roll. If you do 15 points or more of damage, you will sever the arm.
So that is 25 damage.
What? Oh my gosh. 25 damage.
That is a 6 and a 10 on the D10 and the D6.
What?
From Slayer's Prey. And then I rolled a 4 on my D8. And then I have a +4 because he's a humanoid and a +1 from Oren on damage.
Is that more than 15?
Yeah, it's more than 15. But so for HP's sake, I'm only doing, you're going to do half to his HP.
I can only take out 15 because that's what it took to get his hand off.
So your Elkin sword goes straight in and cuts through his left arm like a hot knife through butter.
Oh.
His left arm, he screams out in pain. His left arm lands onto the ground. Blood's kind of spewing everywhere, and he looks up at you in fear. You see in his eyes fear.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not his turn yet.
If my curry favor, I will use... Oh, do I do it? Because I have to use another check. I want to take his blood, and I want to rub it on the red jaw side of my face.
Done.
And I just don't know what I want to use for that. I don't want to use charisma because that is useless for me. But if it has to be charisma,
I will give you whatever your best stat is with advantage because you cut his arm off.
Okay.
His hand.
Forearm down.
Yeah. Just his hand.
Just
come
his
on.
Hand.
So that is a nat 20.
Oh my gosh.
With a
there
plus
it is.
Three. There it is. That's a nat 20 I want.
All right. So you're at three currently.
I'm at two favor
currently. I'm going to give you plus four to favor. So you are at six. So right now you crit on a natural 17 to 20. One more favor and you Sweet. Will crit at a 15 to 20. And Dython, because he's losing an arm and everything, I'm going to bring him down to zero favor. As now the crowd is majority on your side. And it seems like it is becoming real apparent that Dython is going to lose this fight now that he has only one arm.
I picture like in Smash Bros. When you're doing good and the crowd's like, Mario, Mario. I'm like, yeah.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I'm near Orin and Innocent, right?
Yeah, you're kind of. Yeah, you're all near each other.
Okay. And I want to turn to you guys, kind of lean into you guys. We must get Dython out of the arena. We have to rescue him. We should. And then I turn back towards the big, ugly orc.
He's an ugly man. He just looks like every other orc, dude.
He's a mean-looking ugly guy. he's a mean-looking ugly. Yeah. Yeah. And I...
Copper-eyed... full-blooded orc.
And I go back to him, and then I turn back to Innocent and Orin, and I like shake my head real quick, and then back to the orc, and then I do another like cartwheel and just crash right into him, like knocking his beer out of his hand and causing a big old scene, like funnel cake all in his face and everything.
So I'm guessing you're trying to start a riot or something? Like a bar fight?
I mean,
like
if one starts, you know.
You're not going to say no?
Yeah, I'm not going to turn it down.
Give me a... performance check.
All right. That is a 21, baby.
Holy shit. 21. All right. So, Croft, who is currently
from
FRUM,
yes.
From you stumble into this orc. You hit him funnel cake straight to the face.
Oh,
his beer goes everywhere. He immediately wipes his face off. And goes to grab you by whatever shirt that you are wearing. What is your AC? Because he got a 19.
My AC 17. I would like to dodge to half whatever he's about to do to me.
It's your start of your turn, so you can dodge to take half damage. So he literally just picks you up off the ground without saying a word, just menacingly smiles at you. And is just going to headbutt you as hard as he possibly can.
From is sorry?
Ooh, you take 9 points of damage from this headbutt as he literally just takes his forehead straight into the bridge of your nose. And it really fucking hurts.
All right. That's with the...
Nine. So you take 5 points of damage from dodge. As you kind of move it a little bit to hit like maybe like your cheekbone instead so it doesn't like get you straight into the nose and break your nose. And then because he's an orc, he has a second attack. He is going to attempt to headbutt you again. But this time he lets go of you as he's headbutting you. So he's going to like try to headbutt you and push you away from him.
Okay.
Is that uncanny dodge, bro?
That's what I just did.
Oh. Yeah, he only got a 8 on this one. So he, as he tries to like push you away with a headbutt and he drops you, you drop quicker than he expected, and he just completely whiffs it and misses you.
All right.
I guess Nesson's going to try to curry some favor for Ignat.
Okay, yeah. Give me a performance, persuasion, or intimidation.
That's a 14.
14. Okay, that's enough to give Ignath one more favor. So, Ignath, you are now at 6 favor. And you
it's 7 favor.
7 favor. You now crit on 15 to 20, on a natural 15 to 20.
First, I want to look over at the mayor's box.
Mm-hmm.
How does the mood seem to be with Draven and Lyric and the lot?
Lyric stands up and he looks a little concerned now that Dython is missing his bracelet.
Okay.
But the two chains of Emrys, Igor and Draven, just seem like they're watching a gladiatorial match.
Okay. So, seeing what happened on the last turn, I want to scream, finish him, Ignat! Finish him! And I'm going to cast Bardic Inspiration. So that is my bonus action. So you will gain a D8 on any attack roll, ability check, or saving throw. And then with my action, I would like to once again cast Sanctuary.
Stealth check?
On my man.
Sleight of hand?
Yeah. 15?
You're good to go.
Can you hand me one of your D8s?
So you all gone. It is now Dython's turn, and you have Sanctuary cast on you.
So the way that I want to cast Sanctuary, by the way, if you don't mind, sorry, just to flavor this a little bit.
Yeah, go for it.
The component that it requires is a small mirror. So what I'm doing on this cloudless day is every time Dython gets ready to attack, I'm just very quickly angling the mirror and trying to blind him. That's how I picture that I'm...
Right in his eye.
Right okay. in his eye.
Or yeah. Hear me out. He is a Lionel, so you could be shining it just near me.
Oh, and he's like a cat, and he sees the light, and he's like, oh, shit, I gotta get it. I like that better.
Dython looks up at you, Ignath. He kind of like kneeled over. He has his hand over his now bloody stump of the other hand, and you see fear and concern in his eyes as he's not sure what to do right now.
Can I talk to him?
He looks at you, and in a different voice than you ever heard from him. What voice do I want to do for him?
Oh, jeez, I'm really sorry about all that problem.
Oh, shit.
I didn't really mean to cause any problems. It's Dython. It's not even my real name. It's actually Ricky.
He looks up at you, Ignath. This changes nothing. And goes to ram you with his spear once again.
Okay. That'll be the Sanctuary, and if not Sanctuary, I will parry.
He got an 18 on the wisdom saving throw total, so he bypasses it, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right. He now has... He's not going to attempt to flourish. He's not going to do anything. He's just going to go straight for the attack.
I'm going to...
On this one.
Parry that, if I can.
Did we hear him say that?
No.
Okay.
That was just a whisper to Ignath.
So what was his?
He got a nat 1.
Oh, no. So that was a...
Ignat, did you hear what I said?
He got a nat one.
Oh, okay. Nat one, yeah. So he
it doesn't matter
fumbles
what you rolled. And I rolled an
drops,
18 on the parry.
Yeah. So as he goes to impale you in the stomach, Ignat, he lets go of his spear and it kind of passes between your ribs and your arms and goes flying into the column behind you. But when he closes his fist, as attempting like to grab the spear again, the spear behind you dematerializes and then materializes back into his hand.
Mm, okay.
But because it's a nat 1, he loses the rest of his attacks for the round. as a bonus action, because he's not trying to curry favor anymore, he just gives a bellowing lion's roar straight into your face. I need you to make me a wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
It is a frightening fear effect.
So we'll do this.
You can add a d8 to it.
But you can do the d8 after you roll.
Yeah, after you roll before you know if it's good enough or not.
This isn't a spell.
Mm-mm, this is an ability.
Okay. So I do get to add a d6 to this with supernatural defense.
Okay.
That is a 12.
Saving throw.
Oh, sorry. That is a 14.
You pass. So okay. Was trying to fear you. Lionels have the ability to mimic a really, really, really loud roar that can fear you. And none of the columns explode near you. That would mean anything. Ignath, it is to you.
Because again, I like to always imagine this like in my mind theatrically, he roars at me and I'm going to roar right back at him. But that'll be the and I will go to cut off his other hand.
Ooh, okay.
Oh my gosh.
I promised him. I told him I would do this. So I guess I'll roll the d20 on that. That'll be a 19.
That is a hit.
So I'll do damage on that. That is a 6 damage. Oh, no, 7 damage.
Across everything?
11 damage on that first attack.
Okay, so you go to swipe the left arm. You hit it, but you don't get enough to sever it completely.
God.
Yeah, you only did 11 damage.
Okay, so I'll do another attack then.
Okay.
God. So he grooves at the double hit there.
You're just chopping it off. Like he's like, ah, ow, yeah. Stop, ow.
So my second attack will be 20 to hit. And then I will use that part.
Your minimum damage
dice.
To take you.
Wait, why?
Yeah.
You don't. The Bardic Inspiration isn't for damage.
Yeah, it's only for attack.
It's only for attack rolls.
Oh.
Or ability checks. Correct. Or saving throw.
Or damage. I also was wrong on the damage on that last roll, but we'll do that again. So this is 17 plus 4 is 21 plus 4 is 25 plus 1 is 26 damage on that attack. And I should have added plus 4 to the last attack because I forget that I have that.
Then you would have chopped his arm off if you did that. Yeah,
I have that in just my normal damage, but I got a lot of modifiers I'm rolling with right now.
Oh, man. So so you cut through his hand and then you bring it back around straight down to his chest. How would you like to kill Dython?
Oh, I don't know if I wanted to kill Dython.
Well, you can, if you want to, you can say you just bring him to like zero HP and he's
non-lethal blow.
Yeah. It's a non-lethal blow. He can still like talk and stuff like that, but essentially he is just incapacitated.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I'd really like to do is I'd like to take off his hand. And then I'd like to like take the sword and like, instead of like slicing it, because I do have a slashing weapon, I want to like plant it into the ground next to his neck, like enough to cut it. But I do want to like then grab him and hold it to it and be like, why would you do this to your people? To like the animal, to like
the beastkin?
The beastkin, yeah. Because that would be like, it's Ignes' biggest like wondrance of like,
yeah,
you're a free person. Why would you put down your own tribe?
As you say this to Dython, you look up and the mayor goes to give the final thumbs up, thumbs down move. But as he does about to stand up and do that, Lyric literally puts his hand on top of the mayor's head and pushes him back down into his chair, walks up to the front of the mayor box, looks directly at you, Ignath, and gives you the thumbs up. Dython looks up at you, Ignath, and says,
you have my mission now. Tell Drutch I'm sorry.
Hey guys, I throw these complicated things on Ikknath. He's got layers, but they're not deep. It's real light layers.
Ikknath, what do you do? As the crowd is just cheering, kill him, kill him, kill him.
I want to shout to Lyric. He is weak. This one isn't worthy of death.
He responds back to you. And a very loud voice, louder than what an old gentleman could probably do, but enough where you can hear him over the chanting crowd.
This isn't a place for your honor, Orc. This is a place of life or death.
Ikknath then wants to look at one, does not agree with that whatsoever, but we'll look at Dithon again and you'll say, this is what you want.
He looks up at you just like eyes wide, a little teary, and he like gestures and he bleeding from both arms. He is unstable. He's going to bleed out if you don't, like, at this point. That's, you're just fair. Torturing him. He's in pain and you have the ability to end his suffering.
So with that, Ikknath will take the sword out of the sand, not run his head up it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll do a little flourish and just chop his head off straight on the ground. Like, right. A little sword spin move and just straight down.
Give me a d20 roll. Give me a flourish. Let's see what happens here.
Oh, dude, don't take your leg off.
Nat one, you kill yourself.
That'll be with a dex, so that'll be 12.
12, yeah.
And so, I can use the d8 if I need to.
And you have advantage.
Okay. I can use a d8. Sorry, I can use my inspiration. Well, we'll just throw this inspiration there and then, okay. So that'll be a 19.
19. Okay. Yeah. So you pull off a pretty great move as you spin the sword around you, you kick up some of the sand and just completely in a single easy motion, cut Dithon's head off, completely decapitating him as the head flies through the air and spins a little bit. Some of the blood gets onto the crowd as the crowd cheers and they look down at you. The crowd looks down at you. What do you want to do?
I'm going to kneel down to where his hand is that has the bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to, I'm going to grab more blood from the hand that's just on the ground, but I also want to try and pick up the bracelet if I can. And it might be a sleight of hand check with that one.
Yeah.
To try and pocket that.
Sure.
22 on the sleight of hand.
You pick up the hand and you are able to palm the bracelet into you, and, one of your pockets or sacks.
And I will take the blood and I'll like roll it across my face and I'll just like roar into the crowd.
Gotcha. I forgot, is Red Jaws part of the cannibalistic part of orcs or do they not participate in that?
No.
No, okay.
They're actually vegan?
Vegan orcs.
Like a vegan vampire? You only eat deers?
But if there was something of Dithon's I could take off his body that was like kind of like the hag's hair or something that I could take off of him, I would.
I mean, so Lionels do have fangs. They have claws. You could take
like a mane or something?
His mane?
He has a tail.
If I can grab his head, I'd like to take one of his fangs out. That's super gruesome, but I would really like to do that.
Yeah, so you do that. And as you're doing this, the mayor's box, you know, normally it would the mayor, and if he has any guests, will come out and greet the new champion. So they're going to walk down into the arena to greet you, Ikknath. After a few moments, one of the gates opens up and the mayor is no longer a part of the crew. It is now just Lyric, Draven, and Igor.
Hmm.
Ikknath, you see Lyric, like I said, a little older gentleman, slicked back hair, small goatee. He's wearing his own colors, which is that, you know, the dark blue with the yellow trim. And then you see Draven and Igor, the Chains of Emrys, in that charcoal gray studded leather armor that's trimmed with scarlet. And what were those fucking shoes that you, the Louboutins? And Louboutins red sole shoes.
Yeah. Emrys isn't cheap, dude. He buys his people good shoes.
You, Draven is once again clad in all the different chains, and you look at Igor and seeing that this is the first time you have seen this ice dwarf. You notice that he doesn't brandish the same chains that Draven does. Instead, his weapons is you see two battle axes that are completely made of that living ice material that ice dwarves are known for. And those are each onto one of each of his sides. As the three of them walk towards you, Lyric looks at you, smiles, and says,
"So you are now the champion of the Red Colosseum, yes?"
"Well, yes, just another title for me to take on my way, I suppose."
"But the champion must stay here and defend his title."
"Then I relinquish my title."
"The only way to relinquish it is in death."
"Who here challenges me, then?"
"We will see tomorrow, won't we? As the champion, you are the one that is allowed to say yes or no to your own fights."
"Well, then I say no."
"Forever."
"Then you will live your life here in the Red Colosseum."
"I do not believe that was in the contract that I signed."
"Oh, well, let me check. No, it's not in here."
"You fucking drew the contract."
It's not. It's right there, and we signed
it. I mean, just remember, say whatever you want to him right now. You didn't sign anything.
We got that other asshole on the...
Oh, don't worry, guys. I also scored high on that randomly on the intelligence thing, so I actually read the contract.
Your little nose spectacles.
Yeah. As I say that, I take out my spectacles and put them on.
Yeah.
It's about my bloodied face from lion blood, and I'm holding a lionel tooth in my hand.
Oh my gosh.
Lyric snaps his fingers, and you see one of the town guards run out with a contract in hand, and it is your contract.
He goes, "I think you need to read it again."
And as you read over it again, there is a completely new section there that you have not seen before. So being as high as you rolled on it, you know that this has now been added to the contract that you... So this is now basically a new contract that you did not sign. You didn't sign the first one anyways, really. So
He goes, "You now belong to the Red Colosseum."
"Seems you've used some sort of magic to change this."
"No, you're just in my city."
Sorry, I'm doing Draven's voice right now.
No, I will say, though, I'll be like, "Draven, are you just up to people using whatever tricks they can, any magics they have in a city that is controlled by the chains?"
Nice.
"We are not ones that deal in the politics of the city. We are here to only enforce Emrius's will. And I do believe you all lied to me in Asema. Lyric does not have the girl. He has assured me that you and your companions do."
"We do not have the girl, so we believe that she would be here. I see no way that you should trust him more than me. Why would I be fighting in this Colosseum if I had to protect someone? It's not the way of the Red Jaw."
Give me a deception check at advantage. No, I was going to say disadvantage. You gave a good line advantage. I'm going to say give me just straight D20 roll for a deception.
A 10.
"I know you're lying to me, Ignath. It is my full right as Supreme Leader of the Chains in Seraph. I could fight you right now. I could fight you in the streets here in Cork. But why not make an example out of you in front of the entire city?"
"If you'd like to be held down by these laws of Cork, Draven, by all means. Your friend here with his wonderfully bladed weapons has already shown that Emrius has no hold on this city, and so has this man in front of me."
Igor will pick up.
"Hey, man, that's not cool." "Hey, why are you making fun of me? I'm just a nice little guy."
That's the problem. Ignath is not the talker of this group to be having a one-on-one conversation with three antagonists.
Igor will then say,
"What is it? What do you think that I have done here in the city that you don't approve of?"
It's not what I approve of. It's what Emrys approves of and what your order approves of.
Witches.
If I were to fight tomorrow, or maybe in an hour from now, maybe I could pay my way to feel a little bit better if you'd like to wait, Draven. Maybe I could... These scars and this blood could be... changed.
Draven looks over at Igor.
Is this true?
How much did healing cost? It was like a gold per HP or something like that.
I want to then flick, if I can, a gold link to Igor. And then I want to be like,
how about it, Igor? Maybe you could set me up to fight Draven.
Draven looks to Igor.
Is this true, Igor? Do you allow magical healing inside of Cork?
What? And like from the stands, I'm like, oh, shit.
Igor looks up at Draven, not with fear, but with a little standoffish. Fucking hate doing this. You guys make me talk to myself.
Dude, you approached me with like three antagonists. Yeah, dude.
But I'm like, Ignat's not going to try to talk to all three at the same time.
Dude, could, you keep on putting me in, back is, against the wall, and I'm like,
this is character growth.
I don't know if I could.
Igor looks up with him, a little standoffish. I do believe it is my city. I can do with what I want. But yes, I do allow healing with inside the Red Coliseum for just entertainment. Proceeds go to Church of Emblius.
Lyric will look over at Draven, puts a hand on his shoulder, and one of Draven's chains immediately swipes Lyric's hand off his shoulder.
I worked a deal out with Igor that allowed the Coliseum to run at the most efficient way it possibly could. Like Igor said, all proceeds that go from the magical healing go to your church, and he deemed it okay.
Draven turns his back to you, Ignath, and looks just at Lyric and Igor, and all his chains come to life behind him and start vibrating in anger.
You too will pay for your transgressions against Emrys. Igor, it is not your place to defy the decrees that Emrys and we chains have put into place. Lyric, it is not your place to barter or trade or try to ascend yourself above our decrees.
Ignath, he turns around and looks back at you.
There is no fight tomorrow. You will remain champion. But I want Divana.
And he turns and walks out of the Coliseum. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Hammered in Helios. Feel free to follow us on Instagram or Reddit at Hammered in Helios, or subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/HIH podcast. We're also now posting on TikTok at Hammered in Helios, where I, your evil, cruel, malicious, but lovingly tender dungeon master, will be posting a lot about the world of Helios and even giving tips on being a dungeon master or even a better player. As well, special shout out to Marco Giro for our absolute banger of a song, 20 Ways to Die. You can find him on Instagram at TheMarcoGiro. Our next episode releases Monday, September 27th, and in that episode, we will be reviewing Diplomatico Reserva Exclusiva Rum. Now, let's get hammered.